Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
Pleasant good day to Grenada, Caracou, Petit Martinique, the rest of the Eastern Caribbean. I am Pastor Stanford Simon. Welcome to Inside Finance. And as you know, we talk about subject matters that are important to us and to our country. And Inland Revenue is one of the places I'm sure we want to know and understand what is happening there. I am Pastor Stanford Simon, and with me in the studio today, I have the Deputy Controller, Michael Stephen, and Miss Ophelia Conwell. She is the Acting Inland Revenue Controller, and we're going to be talking some things about what is happening within the Inland Revenue. Take a word from our sponsors. We come right back and we continue our discussion here in Inside Finance with the Inland Revenue Department.
Come with your dream to the Grenada Development Bank, and we will find a way to finance it. Whether you want to start a business or refinance an existing project, whether you want a mortgage for house or land, or a loan for a vehicle, or your educational advancement, we have a special to finance your energy conservation overhaul for your home or office. They all come with the lowest interest rates. At the GDB, the People of Grenada Bank, we encourage ideas and we finance dreams. Come into us because the future is yours. The Grenada Development Bank. Empower, transform.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining me here today. I am Pastor Stanford Simon, and without a shadow of a doubt, it is good to have you. I hope all of Grenada is doing well. Good day to Mr. Mike Stephen and Miss Ophelia Conwell.
Good day, Pastor.
How is the Inland Revenue doing? And Miss Conwell, I ask you, I mean, the last time we spoke, you were acting. Now you, you wasn't acting, you was deputy. Now you're acting controller. What has happened since we last spoke?
Well, a lot has happened as given the fact that my substantive position is deputy controller in Inland Revenue. I am acting controller this time since the departure of the then controller, Mr. Curlan Forrester, in August.
Mm. Yes. So you know, in charge of him to make things happen.
Yes.
And then Mike Sylvester, you have moved into her position. Michael Stephen, you have moved into her position. How has that been for you?
Well, Pastor, yes, I'm now Deputy Comptroller Inland Revenue. It's a very challenging position. Inland Revenue is a very complicated structure. We have to deal with the public. We have to offer services in terms of taxation. And it's very challenging, but I'm up to speed.
You're up to speed. Yeah. Well, your arms look good. You look like a strong, healthy young man.
I can't do exercise.
Well, that's good. You better be inside. The show kill you if you don't take your time and get it done. You know, it is in Grenada. The pressure is always on. Now, there is the reform journey that you have had, and I know we spoke about that very early in the year when started. Now, what are the main components of the Inland Revenue Department journey of the reform that you are doing?
Well, Pastor, what we have done is try to modernize and reform the Inland Revenue Division. Mm-hmm. Inland Revenue previously stood on two pillars, right? The IRD, per se, and the valuation section. Mm-hmm. But what we have done, we have segmented the Inland Revenue part into the headquarters function, and operations. And then we also have the valuation division. So the headquarters deals with things like the cash-in section, strategic design and management, and so forth. information technology, the human resource function. And that is really the brains of the Inland Revenue Division, per se. Right? That's where all the strategic design takes place. Under operations, we have the large and medium unit, and we have the small and micro unit. Right, so we have divided the operation into two sections. So we deal with the large taxpayers and the small taxpayers. Right, and then the valuation division looks at the property aspects of Grenada, valuation of properties and the payment of property taxes and land transfer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those are
the main forms that you look at. Yeah. Now, why are the reform undertaken? Why did you do it? Ms. Conwell, there's something you want to raise here?
Yes, I just want to add that the reform journey, we tend to coin it as a journey because it's a process. And it does not only entail a structural change, because you can change a structure on paper, but you have not really given effect to real true change. So one of the a few other components is an update of the job descriptions. We reviewed all the job descriptions within IRD, personnel changes, the reassignment and hiring of new personnel, as in Michael, for instance, legislative and procedural changes we would have done, because to realize change along this journey, you need to change how you do business.
Right.
And this is, so it's not only a structural issue, but we are running on a number of pillars at the same time. So I just wanted to add that.
Okay, so in that, there must be a reason why the reform took place. Help us to understand why you decided to reform the Inland Revenue Department to bring it up to speed.
The main reason is to achieve operational efficiency, right? Mm-hmm. So we want to do things more swiftly, but and together with that, properly as well. So it's really to improve our operational efficiency within the Inland Revenue Division.
Okay, so if you're doing that, then who are the beneficiaries? Who would benefit from this whole operation and this new streamlining of the Inland Revenue Department?
Well, obviously the taxpayers, the general public.
But then explain to me, how would we benefit? The only thing that comes is tax me more. How I benefit from that?
No, obviously we have to customer service.
Right.
It's very important.
Oh, thank God we need that inside today. I mean, I say that with relief. I mean, I'm sure every taxpayer in Grenada is saying the same thing. But tell us, yes.
Yeah, customer service is very important, because taxpayers will come into the revenue to pay their taxes. And, you know, persons usually have issues with paying in general. So if we were to improve the overall experience of the taxpayer coming into Inland Revenue, make it more easy for them to obtain their balances on the different taxes. And in addition to that, the balances have to be correct, right? Once those things are done, then the taxpayer will have a more improved experience in terms of coming into Inland Revenue and paying their taxes, and you know, feeling satisfied that they would have paid and their taxes are going towards the betterment of Grenada in general.
Because I would think that if you walk into any business place and you have a good customer friendly environment, where despite it may be expensive, the fact is, if the experience is good and people make you feel that they're looking after your interests, you walk out of there feeling better than you went in. And I think that is what is lacking in the Inland Revenue Department. People feel like you just want to close down their business. You just want to take away their money. You don't care about them. I'm just telling you what the feelings are. And I guess that is the kind of experience you want to change.
Absolutely, Pastor. No, the intention, and we are changing our vision, because our vision needs to be outward looking. It's not about us. It's about the clients, our customers. We even want to change the way in which we refer to them as taxpayers. They are clients, they are customers. And so we have started a number of initiatives internally, because we realize that we need to deal with self. And some of those things is to, a couple of weeks ago, we started an initiative called Let's Talk Tax with our internal staff, all frontline staff. And we spend our Wednesday nights, evenings from after 4 into about 7, 8, just talking to the frontline staff about how to interact with the client, how to, you know, that sort of thing, because customer service is key for us now as a platform. Basic customer service, we want to be facilitators of the process. If we close down businesses, we would have nothing to collect.
Yes.
So at the end of the day, that is not our main objective. Customer service, and as Michael would have indicated, the customer experience. So we are working on self and doing a lot of things internally to ensure that our frontline staffs are able to deliver in those areas.
Yes.
In addition to the customer service, we also have to talk about the use of technology.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We have launched what is called an e-service platform. Right, so customers can now go online and you know, register, file, and pay their taxes online, and it's an ongoing process. So sometime into the future, you will find that you can do all these transactions that you usually did
online.
Coming into Inland Revenue, you can now do it. You will be able to do it online. So that is part of the whole expansion of the services of Inland Revenue.
Okay. That's very good. Now let's talk about the Tax Administration Act. What is the Tax Administration Act?
The Tax Administration Act, it was enacted in May of this year. And what it does, it harmonizes and simplifies the operation of tax administration, the procedures of our law. So what it does is more, it's not necessarily a, there are some provisions that are consolidated. What we have currently is we have the VAT Act, for instance, we have the Excise Tax Act, we have the Income Tax, and so on, individual acts that requires individual things under various sections. For instance, if you want to request information that is pertaining to VAT, you request it under the VAT Act traditionally. But you may be looking at VAT and Income Tax at the time, so you need to request it under VAT and Income Tax, two separate sections. What the Tax Administration Act does, it allows you to request under one section under the Tax Administration Act.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some general or global issues that the Tax Administration Act covers for all tax types. So where you have penalties for VAT, that is different from penalties to income tax, the Tax Administration Act streamlines all the penalties.
It brings it all together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, why was the Tax Administration Act developed and enacted? Because there must be a reason for it. Why?
Right. One of the main intentions of the Tax Administration Act, other than the consolidation of certain aspects of all the laws, was actually to balance the power given to Inland Revenue and the taxpayers, the rights and obligations of the taxpayers.
Okay.
So, and it also facilitates effective tax administration and provides the taxpayers with procedural safeguards. So in individual pieces, we have things like the Appeals Commission and all of that. The Tax Administration Act also covers broadly the process that it involves if a client should object to something the Comptroller of Inland Revenue would have done. If the due date, for instance, falls on a Saturday, operationally is the next working day, but the Tax Administration Act specifies. So you are well covered within the four. So it balances the powers of the Comptroller Inland Revenue and the rights and obligations of the client.
So it gives both the Comptroller and the client, which is the taxpayer, a level playing field to operate from.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, what is the importance of the Tax Administration Act to the taxpayer and to the government?
Well, with the streamlining of processes, it simplifies and allows for efficiency in tax administration, the ease of doing business with tax administration by that legislation. And so that is the main objective of the particular act.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So to be able to put clearly what government want and what I would want.
What government expects.
Uh-huh, what government expects.
What your rights are,
right,
given government's expectations, your rights and your obligations. So government cannot just impose things on you.
Mm.
The clients have rights.
Okay. So how do I get a copy of that? Or if as a taxpayer I want a copy of that act, is there something I could find at a government printery, or is something I cannot get a hold of?
No, you can find it at the government printery. One of the things that we're looking at doing is whether or not we can put all of those on our website.
That would be helpful.
Because we are of the view, honestly, that the more you give the information is the more you foster compliance and make it easier.
Well, it's the same way. Since the Ministry of Finance started doing this program and talking about what happened to the Ministry of Finance, there should be a close, like a little cult, you know. These guys, they all they do is take your money and spend it. I mean, since we start talking about it, that's been very helpful to them. The more information I get, the country and persons have got to understand what to do. So you get less criticism. So I would think if you do that, I very much think it would be helpful to us, because how many of us would go to the government printery and buy a copy of that and to read? I think only when we have a problem, we would want to look at the section that affect us. And I think that would be very helpful.
One of the things that we're working on, just to add, is not only looking at the laws online, because, I mean, laws are not necessarily the most user-friendly things to read. We are looking at simplifying and putting explanatory notes of the various provisions on the website. We are working on it now. We have a draft of the document that we want to upload on our website, which we believe would be more useful to the clients in the first instance.
Okay. I think this question I'm going to ask have to do with pretty much a taxpayer, people, persons like me. What are the penalties and non-compliance, the registration, the filing, and the payment? Talk to us about the penalties that goes with that. But just before you do that, I'll come back and ask the question. I just want to remind my listeners, I'm speaking to Mr. Michael Stephen, who is the Deputy Controller, and Ms. Ophelia Conwell, who is the Acting Controller.
Correct.
Of the Inland Revenue Department. And we're talking here about what's happening with inside finance, and to be able to help you to understand what is happening in the Inland Revenue. They don't only take your money. They do good things with our money, make sure that our money is properly spent, but make sure that also that we pay our taxes, and which it is critical. We take a word from our sponsors. We come right back, and I'll be speaking, continue my discussion here with Mr. Michael Stephen and Ms. Ophelia Conwell. I am Stanford Simon. This is Inside Finance.
Come with your dream to the Grenada Development Bank, and we will find a way to finance it. Whether you want to start a business or refinance an existing project, whether you want a mortgage for house or land, or a loan for a vehicle, or your educational advancement, we have a special to finance your energy conservation overhaul for your home or office. They all come with the lowest interest rates. At the GDB, the People of Grenada Bank, we encourage ideas and we finance dreams. Come into us, because the future is yours. The Grenada Development Bank. Empower, transform.
Welcome back. I am Pastor Stanford Simon. Thank you so much for joining me here today. I am speaking with Mr. Michael Stephen, who is the Deputy Controller, and Ms. Ophelia Conwell, who is the Inland Revenue Controller. And they're both here. We're talking some of the main things that we want to understand coming to taxes and what is happening inside the Inland Revenue Department. The question I raised just before we took the break had to deal with what are the penalties and non-compliance dealing with the registration, the filing, and payment.
Well, the Tax Administration Act provides for a number of penalties for infractions against the law. The failure to register carries a fixed penalty notice of $2,500. Now, just to say that prior to the Tax Administration Act, the Value Added Tax Act was the only act that provided a penalty associated to persons who were not registered for that specific tax type. So as I said before, the Tax Administration Act streamlines. So now if you fail to register with Inland Revenue Division, you can be fined $2,500. $500.
If you are a company operating in Grenada.
If you are a business operating in Grenada.
Oh.
So
explain business for me. Right. Explain when you say business, what is that? Is a business operating making $1,000 a month, $500 a month, or $10,000 a month?
It doesn't matter what you're making. You may set up your business. The company is just a business structure. So you may be an individual, maybe a trafficker, as long as you're into trade, into business, you're selling some service or
So if I'm selling barbecue by the side of the road, you're saying that I need to come and register in
You should be registered with Inland
Revenue. I should be or yes. I have to?
You have to.
Because then I would be fined.
You can be fined, okay. Yes. And the reason for that is you may determine that you're below the income tax threshold at this stage and there is no need to be registered. But Inland Revenue would not know the point in time that you go above that threshold. So it is a requirement that you come in and be registered. If you have nothing to pay, you file your return as nil. So you have to report at the end of the day what it is you make.
So if I'm a seamstress, mm-hmm. if I'm a barber...
Yes.
You're saying that I should register.
Absolutely. The law
If I'm a farmer.
Yes.
Okay. Folks, you heard. I want you to hear clearly what Miss Ophelia said, that if you're a barbecue man, if you're a barber, if you're a fisherman, the point is once you're doing business, you have to register. It have some persons who go around selling in vans, sandwiches and so forth. You're saying that they too must register with the Inland Revenue Department.
As long as you're doing business. And what is happening is that you consider those persons are in an informal sector. So you can see Hubbards, for instance, you can see courts. They are there. They are persons with a structure. But there are other persons that are doing businesses, having all sorts of business happening. Their services, for instance, at their home, you know,
mm-hmm.
in their home office and so
right.
on. You are supposed to be registered with Inland Revenue. The law does not specify a category of persons that should not be registered.
So everybody who doing business, whatever business, you need to register with the Inland Revenue Department.
Absolutely.
That is clear.
And okay. The fixed penalty notice, though, it is like we are the only country in the Caribbean that has that. It's like a ticket that you get. It's actually a ticket that you get if you break the traffic laws.
Oh.
And you go up to the Supreme Court and you pay it. You have 3 months to pay it. And if you don't, then you are taken to court after that and the fine can be doubled. So that is the type of fixed penalty notice that is imposed here. Not on an account. We give you a fixed penalty notice. And then the comptroller has the powers to register you.
Okay.
And then we have the late filing. If you are registered with us and you have to file, it does not matter whether or not you meet the threshold, you have concessions, exemptions, there is an obligation to file. The responsibility to pay and the obligation to file is two very different things. So even if you do not have to pay, you still have to file a tax return. And the penalty associated to that is the greater of 5% of the amount of tax owing, plus a further 1% every month it remains outstanding, or $500 plus a further $100 every other month that it remains outstanding. But this caps at $10,000. And this is for all tax types. You would recall that prior to this, the VAT was $10,000 if you're a day late.
Mm-hmm.
So this streamlines and harmonizes. This applies to all tax types. And why we say or $500 and a further $100, because you may have persons who do not have to pay, or they file a credit or a loss, but you still have to file. So if you don't file and you have a credit or you have a loss, the $500 would be imposed as opposed to.
So we all need to file?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, filing is absolutely important. And then we have a late payment penalty of 20% of the amount of tax owing. So that's a payment issue. And now I want to say before I go further that at the end of the day, you can request, when I said the Tax Administration Act balances the powers of the comptroller and the rights of the client can request an extension to file or pay, file and pay before the due date. If you do not want these fines to be imposed on your account, so if you request a filing extension of the comptroller can grant you the filing extension and the filing penalty would not be imposed.
Okay, so it's up to the taxpayer to file.
Yes.
And ask for the extension.
Yes, and it must be done before the due date. not on the due date, but before the due date, the payment is the same thing. And if you want both to happen, then you need to specify. And the comptroller will determine that the extension can be granted. And for the most part, we grant those extensions. And then the person would be relieved of the filing and the payment penalty, but the interest must be paid.
Okay.
Okay. Again, the Tax Administration Act allows us to lien on properties. It allows us to garnish persons' account, meaning that we can go into the account and take the money to clear the debt. It
you
allows
mean
us.
You can go to the bank.
Yes, we can.
Or to the credit union.
Or to the credit union.
Wow.
It allows us to do third party debtors. So if you're into rental, for instance, and a tenant owes you, we can go and get the money from the tenant and let the tenant pay us to clear the debt instead of paying you. We can also offset with the accountant general. So there are a number of things that we can do.
It's a lot of power.
Yes.
But that's good. I mean, I'm not doubting it because, I mean, government need to receive its money. So now you are streamlining it, as you rightly said, that is much more efficient and effective. Mm-hmm. That government, Inland Revenue Department have more teeth to exercise its right.
Yes, but I want to say that our intention is not to wield power. Our intention is to educate and facilitate in the first instance.
That's come back to your customer service drive.
Absolutely. And okay. Our whole drive to reform, our reform agenda is facilitation, because we are of the view that clients don't necessarily decide that they don't want to pay. Most persons want to do the right thing. And if we provide avenues for them to do the right thing, then we would not have a problem. For those that we have to deal with, we are prepared to do that. But that would not be our first initiative.
Okay. I want to say I have three more questions I want to ask you. The question is, I only have about 5 minutes left. Can we get through that in 5 minutes, or you would like to do a separate program to deal with these three questions?
Yes, because it's the compliance strategy. So, and we want to talk about the compliance strategy.
So
yes.
At least it's better we take some time. Yes. All right, folks. I would conclude here, and then I would sit and talk with them. After, you wouldn't hear that, I'll air it next week, but we talk about the compliance and the strategy for the Inland Revenue Department. So, Art, we'll conclude this program here, and my special thanks to Mr. Michael Stephen, who is the Deputy Controller within the Inland Revenue Department, and Ms. Conwell. How are you doing? Ophelia Conwell, she is now the acting controller. And she's the head of the ship. So when you're in real trouble, she's the woman who have to make the decision, or the prime minister himself. So she talked directly to the man above, and which is a good thing. They both have been talking to us about looking at the Inland Revenue Department, its journey, and looking at the Tax Administration Act, and also thinking about how can we, and the customer service, for which they really want to help us understand and be clear in our mind about it. And I'm very thankful. Thank you so much, both of you, for being here today and sharing with us. I'll sit down and talk with you after. We'll continue our discussion, which we'll talk about the compliance strategy that they have for us. Mike, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Ms. Conwell?
Thank you.
Thank you again. I am Pastor Stanford Simon. Remember, we need to pay our taxes. And if you're doing a barbecue, if you're doing a seamstress at home, if you're a taxi driver, you need to be able to file, right? You need to be able to register and say that I have a little business. And if you file, you don't make no money, it's fine. But they need to know that you are filing. I am Pastor Stanford Simon. Thank you so much for being with me here today. Go to the website, sgbcgrenada.com. This program will be uploaded there, and also on the government website, Inside Finance. Be good to yourself. Join me next week at the same time, where we do this all over again right here on this station.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.